Good morning, and Happy New Year to you. For those that are visiting with us, we're happy that you have made the decision to worship with us on this first Sunday of a new year. This time of year, there are lots of resolutions that are being made to live different, to do different, to be better. And also this time of year, there's lots of sickness. And so today, we've got some people that are here probably because you have made a new resolution to try to get back into church or get more serious about your walk with God. And there are some people that would desperately like to be here today, but because of illness are not able to be. I want to challenge each one of us, and this challenge comes because of something that was shared this morning in the class I was a part of that really touched my heart. I want to challenge each one of us this morning to look around and notice somebody that's not here. Maybe they're sick because of illness. Maybe they're struggling because of spiritual battles that are raging. Or maybe they're just out of the habit. I'd like for you to look around and try to notice somebody that, a space that is empty. Somebody that's not here, that ordinarily has been here. And your challenge for the new year, and I'm going to take this challenge too, is for us to notice who's not here and make an effort this week to write a note, to make a phone call, to encourage somebody that you know is not here, that you are noticing this morning that you wish was here. And let's try to encourage people as best we can as we begin a new year. I want us to start the sermon this morning and a new year with a word of prayer. I think that's the only appropriate thing to do as we begin a brand new set of Sundays for the new year, is to begin by bowing together and praying to our Father. So let's bow. Our Father in heaven, Your name is holy. May Your kingdom come to us. May Your rule and Your reign come over us. We ask that Your will would be done in our lives and upon this earth, as it is always done before Your presence in heaven. Father, help us to be satisfied and content as You so faithfully give us our daily bread. We ask, Father, that You forgive us of the things that we stand indebted to You against. And may we also forgive those that we owe things to as well. And those, Father, that have sinned against us, may we forgive them as You have forgiven us. We ask, Father, for Your protection, that You lead us not into temptation, but that You would deliver us from the evil one. And as we begin a brand new year, Father, help us to recognize that it is Your kingdom that is all powerful, that is all glorious, and that will stand forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can call me strange, but I like the smell of dirt. You got to understand, I grew up on a farm, and the smell of dirt was the smell of something great that was about to happen. The smell of fresh soil being turned to the surface was the smell of the opportunity for new seeds to be sown. And what was about to happen in the weeks and months ahead was that that entire field was about to come alive with new life. As we begin a new year, it's time to smell some dirt. It's time for us to plow afresh what has for far too long remained unplowed, so that new seeds can be sown and new life can burst forth. And maybe that's what you need, and that's what it's time for in your life. When you plant seeds, whether you grew up on a farm or perhaps you've had a garden, you know that you can't create life when you plant seeds. The best you can do is you can create an environment, you can create conditions that are conducive for good growth. And so we put down fertilizer and we make sure that our gardens are watered and cared for and cultivated, and we're vigilant over that ground to make sure that the conditions are the best that they can be to create life. Well, as we start a new year, what I think we should all be contemplating in our own personal lives is the question, what is my next step in my spiritual growth? What is the next thing that I need to do? Or what is the ground in my life that I need to be preparing for God to sow new seed and to bring forth new life, new vibrancy, new excitement, new enthusiasm, new maturity in my walk with Him? What is your next step? Are you content to just let the ground lay fallow and unplowed? Or are you ready to smell the smell of dirt being turned to the surface? Are you ready for that next step? We're going to begin a series this morning and continue it in the next three Sunday mornings, God willing, as we consider together what is the next step of your faith. And perhaps, maybe, your next step is you need to step out. Maybe you've been comfortable for far too long. Maybe you've been satisfied with where you are in your walk with God, and maybe you have been like fallow ground that is unturned. Ground that has amazing potential to bring forth new life, but it's overtaken by weeds and it's overtaken by all manner of other things, and it's never really realized its potential because it's not been turned. The ground has not been plowed. Maybe your next step is you need to step out. Maybe it's time for you to get serious about plowing the soil of your heart to receive the message of God. Maybe you've been hearing the message of God for years and years and years, but you've really never allowed it to sink in. This may be your year. This may be your time to take it to the next level, to take that next step, to step out and plow the soil of your heart that has been hardened through time or is overtaken by thorns and thistles. Now may be your time to plow the fallow ground. There are two passages in the Old Testament I want us to look at this morning that have the same concept embedded in both passages. The first is Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says. "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." And then Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that He may come and rain righteousness upon you." Both of these passages in the prophets use this idea of the fallow ground. The NIV gives it the unplowed ground. The idea that is being used here clearly is an agricultural image that is indicating some land in a farming environment that could be very productive. It's like premier farmland for growing a bumper crop. And yet the ground remains unused. It is unproductive because it's not been plowed, it's not been broken up, it's not been prepared for the planting of seed. And so fallow ground or unplowed ground is unused ground. In fact, it is ground that is unusable because it's not been broken up. It's not been plowed. And so if you are familiar with having a garden, and by the way, the smell of dirt smells pretty good right now with the cold temperatures. The smell of dirt is the smell of spring. And I'm ready for spring. I don't know about you, but some of you in the springtime will be getting out the rototiller and you'll be beginning to plow up that ground and prepare your garden spot for the plants, the vegetables that will grow there. And the reason you break up that ground is to prepare the ground for the seeds to get started, for them to have a place to root themselves, and for the moisture to penetrate and to bring forth life from the seed. Well, the prophets here in Jeremiah and Hosea are speaking about the word of the Lord and commanding the people to break up the spiritual land of their hearts so that when the seed is sown, it will bring forth new life. You know, no matter how many times you hear God's word, no matter how many Bible classes that you're in, no matter how many sermons you hear, no matter how much you read your Bible, if you don't break up the soil of your heart and let that seed sink down inside of you, then that seed is going to have little, if any, real effect on your life. So what steps do we need to take to prepare the ground, to plow the ground of our hearts in this new year? Maybe that's what you need to do. That's your next step. You need to step out and really dig up the soil of your heart to let God's Word really sink in you and bring forth life and bring forth action. Well, there's several things that maybe you need to do. To prepare soil to be able to receive seed, maybe you need to remove the stumps that are in your heart. When the pioneers first came across our great land, this new world, what they found were forests upon forests. And for there to be any ground for farming and for seed to be planted, the ground had to be cleared. And so forests had to be removed. And maybe in your life, there have been things spiritually that have been growing in your life that were unhealthy, that were not needful for your spiritual growth. And so maybe you have done the hard work in the days past of clearing that ground. Maybe you've cut the trees down, and that's a good thing. But maybe as you look at your life, you realize that although the trees have been cut down, the stumps still remain. The roots of those things that you have thought you long put away for your spiritual growth are still firmly embedded down in the soil, and therefore the ground of your heart remains unplowed. It's not producing. Because the stumps are still there, the roots are still there, and maybe the most difficult task of the next step you need to take in stepping out is doing the difficult work of digging up and removing the roots, removing the stumps in your life. What's been growing in your life previously? Has there been hatred? Has there been bitterness? Has there been negativity? Has there been lust? Has there been greed? Has there been pessimism? What has been growing in your life? And maybe you've cut them down. But maybe the roots, the stumps are still there. And if they are, it's going to sprout back. So maybe your next step is to remove the stumps. Or maybe you need to break up the hardness. Break up the hardness that is in your heart. If seed is going to take root and moisture penetrate the ground so the seed can grow, hardened ground has to be broken up and softened in order to receive the seed. Let me ask you this morning, as you start a new year, are there areas of your heart that are hard? Are there areas of your life that really are still operating in unbelief? Maybe you've been wounded by some relationship. Maybe somebody has done something to really hurt you. And maybe because of that emotional pain, you have sealed off certain areas of your life where you won't allow yourself to be touched. You won't allow yourself to be penetrated. You won't allow yourself to be, your heart to be moved because you've been hurt. Your heart is hard and it's just too painful. You don't want to revisit that. Well, maybe it's time to let God do something that maybe only He can do. Maybe it's time for God to come into your life and break up those old resentments and heal those old hurts. God has promised to pull the plow, but you've got to direct Him to your heart. Direct Him to the hard places. Invite Him into those hardened soil areas in your life so that He can deal with it, so that He can let the plow down and soften up your heart to receive the power of what God can do in your life spiritually in this new year. Or maybe, what do you need to do to plow the ground? Maybe you need to dislodge the big rocks that are there. Sometimes whenever you go out into a field, I can remember many times as a boy, me and my dad and brothers going out into a field and we start plowing the ground and some of the soil looks really fertile. It looks really great. And then you get to a place that's hard and it's much more difficult and sometimes you hit huge boulders, huge rocks that seem immovable, and it takes great effort and great work, and nobody can do it by themselves. It takes lots of teamwork coming together to remove the large rocks, the large stones, to dislodge them and remove them from the field so that the field can be planted. As you have been perhaps plowing the soil of your heart, as you've been growing spiritually and trying to be what God wants you to be, you may have unearthed some rather large stones that seem immovable, that seem like there's no way that I'm ever going to be any different than this. I've been living this way far too long. I've developed a much too ingrained habit. This is just a part of my embedded personality. You may feel like there's no way that stone can be moved, and you know what? If you try to move it by yourself, you're right. For big stones to be moved, for the ground to be fertile, for the ground to be planted, for the ground to be plowed, to remove those big stones, you're going to need some help. Not only must you reach out to God and ask for His help, but if you really want to get serious about moving those large stones, then you need to call some people to your side. And I think sometimes we miss this, but this is the purpose of Christian community. The purpose of why God established the church, and Jesus believed it was so vitally important that He would voluntarily give His lifeblood for it, was because He knew we needed each other. James would say, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. What's he talking about? He's talking about helping each other move these big stones. This is the reason why God doesn't have a system of leadership in the church that's just by vote. But instead, He has said, choose from among yourselves men that have spiritual qualities that can shepherd over you. The elders of this church are here to help you and to help me. To do what? To move some of those big stones when we see that we need some help moving them. Use them. Go to them. Ask for their help. They're all too ready to help you. This is the reason why this church believes in the power of the small group ministry. Because we can help each other to be able to be aware of the stones in our lives and come to one another's side and get on one side of the stone and you get on the other, and let's lift this thing up and let's move this thing out of the soil of my heart for good. This is the reason why we have women's ministries and men's ministries where we can help each other to dislodge these big rocks. But sometimes the ground lays fallow and unplowed because the field has not been planted in years. It's not been plowed in years, and just quite frankly, it's been overtaken by other things. If you leave a field, you can have the most beautiful field, the most beautiful ground, the most fertile soil that's been used to plant bumper crops of corn or wheat. But you let that field just be to itself, and it doesn't take long before other plants begin to grow. And they are not the kind of plants you want growing in a fertile field. It might be thistles or thorns or kookaburras that overtake the field. When I was a boy, I remember Dad making a huge mistake. One summer when my dad was working a job at his day job that wasn't at the farm, he told me and my brother, he gave us both a machete, and he said, "You know that field over by the barn that is full of thistles?" And I mean, it was thick in thistles. He said, "I'll give you a dime for every one of those you cut down." Big mistake. We took Dad to the bank that summer. I mean, I was sweating and swinging that machete till I had blisters on my hands. It's like 10 cents, 20 cents, 30 cents, you know, just really keeping it up with it. But there were thistles all over that field. And that field was useless because of the things that were growing in it. Jesus describes this kind of heart in one of his parables that we call the parable of the soils. In Matthew chapter 13, in Mark 4, and in Luke 8, Jesus describes that in some people's hearts, growth is not happening because there are thorns and thistles. There are other things growing that need to be gathered, and they need to be cut down, dug up, gathered, and burned. Now, if you compare those three gospel accounts, it essentially, Jesus names four different types of thistles, four different types of thorns, weeds that grow in our lives. First, he says, the worries of life. Sometimes you're not making the progress in your faith that you need to make because the other things of life have consumed you, have called for your attention and crowded out the matters of your faith. And when you focus more upon your situations rather than surrendering to your Savior, the worries of life will crowd out your faith. Sometimes it's the deceitfulness, Jesus says, the deceitfulness of riches that crowd out your faith. When you start placing more emphasis upon thinking that you can have security in life by your financial portfolio, and more focus is put upon money and wealth than resting in the security of God, it is deceitful because those riches can vanish in a moment. And then where is your security? So don't let the deceitfulness of riches crowd out your spiritual life with God either. And sometimes it's the desire for other things, he says. When we start investing our time and our energy upon things that are not in themselves bad, they're good things, but these things neglect and begin, these things crowd out and cause us to neglect the matters of faith, and our faith begins to wilt. I was visiting with another preacher a few weeks ago, having lunch with him, and we were talking about why it is that sometimes people seem to just kind of fall away from the church. I mean, it breaks our hearts as ministers when we see people taking the first steps of just abandoning their faith. And I tell you, the first sign of that is when you give up on the church. You can say, "I want Christ, but I don't want the church," but you give up on Christ's bride, and it won't be long before you give up on Christ. That's just the reality. And I know some people in my generation don't like to hear that, but that is the reality. I've seen it too many times. So don't think you can stay true to Christ and give up on the church. You give up on His bride, you're going to give up on Him before much longer. It's the first signs of it. And I was talking to another minister about this, and really just we were sharing, and I was struggling to understand what can we do. And he gave me this piece of advice. He said, years ago I went to a conference where they were talking about retention rates in churches and trying to help people grow spiritually. And he said, you know, one thing that you will always see is that when somebody starts down the pathway of neglecting being a part of a local church, they start, their attendance becomes a little more sporadic, and then they're coming less and less and less. He said, you watch it every time. If you stop investing in spiritual things, there is something else in life that you're pouring that time and energy into. And I have seen that happen all the time. You watch somebody that has stopped being involved in spiritual things, and you every time they're getting more involved in a hobby, they're getting more involved in negative relationships, they're getting more involved in things that are maybe good, like exercise, but maybe they're becoming consumed by it. They're pulling away from spiritual things and replacing it with something else. Jesus says this is a thistle, a thorn you've got to watch out for, the desire for other things. It's not that the other things are bad, but they're bad when they crowd out your spiritual development. And then next, he says, sometimes the pleasures of the world entice us to leave our faith. We've seen this happen and perhaps been guilty of it ourselves at times. There are things in life that seem pleasurable in the short run, but if they're contrary to God's instructions, they will leave you empty, wasted, and ruined in the long term. As Hosea would say in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, if you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. Don't think that you can sow and give your time and attention to the pleasures of this world and it not have a negative impact. If it's against God's will, don't think it's not going to have a negative impact somewhere down the road in your life. If you sow to the wind, sometime, some way, you're going to reap a whirlwind. Is it time to smell a little dirt in your life? Is it time to begin to plow up and clear the land of your heart so that the spiritual seed can begin to grow? Scripture says it and experience bears it out. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, that he will also reap. To reap a good harvest tomorrow, if you want to have a good year, a good next 5 years, a good life, if you want your life to be moving in a good direction as you think about what your next steps of faith are, if you're going to reap that good harvest tomorrow, you've got to sow well today. And you've got to prepare the ground today. You can't wait to become a better person. You can't wait and think, there's going to be another opportunity for God to make a difference in my life. I think we all are tempted sometimes to look toward the future. And we think, you know, everything's going to be different once I get a little older. You know, a few years from now, I'll get more serious about spiritual things. Or give me a little more time under my belt and I'll take that more seriously. We all think that we're going to be better Christians, better Bible students, better people, better at sharing our faith, that sometime in the future, when more time has passed, we'll be better then. But that's simply not the case. You will be then what you are now. If you want to be somebody better in the future, you've got to start being a better person today. So now is your time. This is your next step. Step out. If you want to be who God wants you to be, if you want to realize the power of what God can do in your life, don't wait any longer. Get out the plow. Let's smell some dirt. Let's get down in the trenches of it and let's turn it over and expose it to heaven and let God's seed and His moisture and His sunshine come shining down in your life and bring forth that new life of the power of what God can do for you. Your next step may be to step out. If you always do what you've always done, you're going to always be what you've always been. But if you want to be somebody different, it's time to step out. It's time to soften that soil. It's time to plow that ground. It's time to let God plant that seed. It's time to reap the harvest. Let the blossom of the flower come. Let the growth begin. This is your time. Do you need to come to Jesus Christ? Do you need to let your heart be plowed? We would encourage you to make your need known if we can help you in any way. If you need to surrender your life wholly to Jesus in repentance and baptism, we would love to assist you in that. If you need a prayer, if you need a personal Bible study where we can open the Bible and explore in greater detail what steps you need to take, we would love to help you in any way that we can. You can make your need known this morning by coming forward or speak to me privately in the foyer. We have shepherds of this flock that would be glad to help you as well. One will be stationed down front. There'll be some in the library privately if you need prayer. Take the step. Have the prayer. Commit to Christ. Be born again. Whatever it is, plow that ground. Take your next step and step out as we stand and as we sing.